located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
With us this morning is our good friend Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and he's going to bring you abreast of what's really going on behind the scenes. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Dr. Stan.
Well, so what are we going to talk about this morning from the latest World Affairs Brief?
Well, we're going to talk about the G8 summit. We're going to talk about Obama's summit meeting in Russia. But I'd like to start off with the Sarah Palin resignation today. Something new has come out, and basically to put the story first in perspective, the political world was truly shocked as Alaska Governor Sarah Palin announced Friday she was stepping down as governor, but transfer authority to Lieutenant Governor Sean Parnell. It's fueled speculation that she was preparing her own presidential bid for 2002, but this resignation will very much badly or negatively impact her ability to run in 2002. She's giving up a sitting position as a governor of a state, which is a respected position. All that's now in limbo. Frankly, political pundits all over the nation were shocked that she would pull such a boner, meaning a big political mistake to step down too early. She should have fulfilled her term. And it's also a very big negative for a person of the powers that be, you know, literally helped raise to national status. Of course, the powers that be later regretted that when her stubborn and self-serving personality began to overrule her handlers, and that, you know, may be part of the problem of why she resigned. One thing I did learn about Sarah Palin as soon as she was selected by McCain's controllers, you know, she'd been touted as a real libertarian governor of Alaska, but I knew when she decided to join with the likes of John McCain, she couldn't be a true libertarian or conservative libertarian, and two, that she didn't have a clue of how the powers that be operate and manipulate things. And so my assessment has always been that Sarah Palin is kind of like a female Ronald Reagan, conservative at heart, but with a big ego and easy to be manipulated, not a real deep thinker, but kind of a hard-charging, want-to-be-somebody-big in the world. And that's the perfect recipe for disaster for a conservative, because when you want to be elected too badly, when you want to get ahead too badly, then you'll make compromises, as she did, obviously, say the things and, back McCain. Well, I believe the powers that be have soured on Palin and have set a host of investigative dogs on her in Alaska to try to uncover more dirt on her to discourage any further political advancement. There seems to be another motive now. It's not really son-in-law, but son-in-law potentially to be guy named Johnston has revealed today that when he was living in the home in January of this year, he overheard them talking about, she and her husband talking about lucrative book deals, all kinds of engagements and endorsements and other things worth millions of dollars that she could not take advantage of while she was governor of Alaska. And so his feeling is that she's dumping the governorship in order to take advantage of these multi-million-dollar book deals.
Well, apparently they've had to put out a tremendous amount of their own money to meet all these charges of corruption. And, you know, women don't usually stand up under this tremendous pressure. I mean, they were obviously out to get her, and there would be ethics charge after ethics charge after ethics charge. And I think that, you know, she wasn't going to stand up, hold up under this sort of an attack.
Yeah, I don't think so. And, you know, legal bills, they claim, are in excess of $500,000, which is not hard to imagine, the way that lawyers charge nowadays. But in any case, the reason may be money. They may be monetary, and deciding to, that there's nothing more to be gained from a governorship in Alaska. But I'm sure we'll see more of Sarah Palin in the future. As I say, I'm not you know, enthusiastic at all about Sarah Palin as a you know, as a constitutional conservative. I don't think she would be. She'll, you know, talk the talk, but she won't you know, follow through. And you know, one of the problems, of course, is that by bailing out early of her governorship and things, you know, she really makes it easy for, well, it's really helped Romney's position. Romney is a fairly, well, very charismatic type candidate. He's a lot smarter than Sarah Palin, and, you know, I still don't like him in the sense that he has the same problem Palin does. He wants too badly to be elected. But as Politics Daily said, if Mitt Romney had convened a conclave to set about systematically destroying his potential political opponents, he could have done no better than this. Moderate Utah governor, meaning liberal, that's the way the politics call moderates, liberal Republican Utah Governor John Huntsman is now ambassador to China. Nevada Senator John Ensign and Senator or South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford have both gone down in flames with major affairs, which, you know, Democrats can get away with this, but it's very doubtful that they could pass muster in a Republican presidential nomination. And now Sarah Palin's bizarre announcement that she's stepping down as governor has, in the minds of many people, realistically said, well, that puts Romney at the top of the heap right now. Now there's a lot of time to go before the election, but Romney's poll numbers did increase some 10 points over the past 16 months. So, you know, if he plays his cards right, he's in a fairly strong position. They're talking about throwing up Huckabee against him again. They don't, you know, Huckabee, I don't believe, is electable, but he's only useful to the powers that be to stall a Romney campaign.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Good news. Revival, revival, revival at the Rogers Hall, Lyons, Colorado, Friday the 10th and Saturday the 11th of July at 7:30 p.m. Hear evangelist Samuel Santos, who died twice, has been in three airplane accidents, and 19 years ago fell on the ice and lost his memory totally. In the last 15 years, Brother Santos has been used by God in a mighty way in the communist country of Cuba, establishing Bible schools all over that country. In the last 2 years, 2008 and 2009, he graduated 2,638 students. He will be praying for the sick and the needy. For more information, call 303-883-5674. That's 303-883-5674. Everybody is welcome. Once again, that's a revival at the Rogers Hall, Lyons, Colorado, Friday the 10th and Saturday the 11th of July at 7:30 p.m. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief. We've been talking about Sarah Palin, and unfortunately, they've targeted her for destruction. I'm sure they've had tremendous tremendous problems of financially. I mean, they're not rich people at all. If you've seen the picture of her sitting in their boat, I mean, it looks like something that I just couldn't imagine. The governor of a state, you know, having a boat like that, but that's the way they live up there. It's a whole different world. Go ahead, Joel.
Well, they built the boat, her husband and some buddies built the boat themselves, so it's kind of a homemade job.
Sure.
There are some legitimate ethics complaints. She did take advantage of being mayor to do some things, and I just think it's more a case of opportunities are there and being uncareful rather than a dishonesty like we've seen in many politicians. But she does certainly get part of the onus off the back. You know, as one person pointed out, resigning, if there really was a serious ethical breach, resigning and then running for president later on wasn't going to solve that because it would come out later on anyway, and she'd have to confront that. But at least it does stop the drain on legal bills if she's not in a public position whereby she can be, have to defend against ethic charges. So more and more I'm leaning towards the area that this is financial, and she will reap millions, in her book deal. And although even this sours the viability a little bit of a book deal because she appears to be bailing out too soon. In any case, we haven't seen the last of Sarah Palin and a lot of others, but this is something that the powers that be are having to struggle with. They have to manipulate the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party. In order to do so, they have to have manipulable conservatives who, will make it appear as if they're fighting for the right, but in fact have these mixed motives that I have warned about for so long, that mixed motives are a recipe for compromise. And we know what happens when we compromise our constitutional position. It just, it never leads to a an improvement of our situation.
Well, you could see John McCain as the phony conservative. I mean, they owned him. He made all sorts of, public relationships, of films and announcements for the communist North Vietnamese when he was their prisoner. I mean, he was disreputable. He was universally hated by the other prisoners of war. But all of that was suppressed. Not one mention of that during the campaign. They could bring it up at any time, destroy his political career. They own him.
Yeah, the government, our government essentially, dark side of government, bought those tapes from the Soviets, paid millions for them to suppress them, and to preserve John McCain to live another day politically. And he carried water for them, including sabotaging all of the hearings on additional POWs and MIAs that were left behind. I mean, this is a person who's been riding this horse of heroship, of being a POW hero, and he was, in fact, a betrayer of that. So I have no respect for John McCain whatsoever. But, even though these are true conservatives, in their gut feelings, Romney and Palin, I'm just not enthused about them, because I've seen what happens when conservatives start to compromise. They become like Senators Orrin Hatch in Utah, who's become best friends with Ted Kennedy. You know, we don't need those kind of conservatives who play both sides of the aisle. You know, we need someone to stand up for the Constitution. Well, let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about the state of the stimulus. Everybody's talking about, hope that this is going to work, but there are really no real results. So the Democrats are already preparing for yet another stimulus package as the current recovery is stalling. Official unemployment is nearly 10% now, and Obama said this stimulus will stop the unemployment from growing. It has not done that, even though the rate of increase in unemployment has slowed. It's still going down, and there's a lot of indices that indicate that things are going down and further. Port statistics are revealing there's a leading indicator before the production collapse in Japan, Europe, and U.S. over the winter that may be telling us something. The Baltic Dry Index, which is basically the cost of shipping around the world, the number of ships waiting to berth, mostly in China and Australia, began to fall after peaking in mid-June. The Iron Ore Port Congestion Index, a new one, we're seeing the same pattern of a year ago before the commodity boom tipped over. The commodity boom basically was that China and certain other countries, in order to dump dollars or buy something useful before the dollar declined further in price, were buying a great deal of coal and iron ore. And now apparently this commodity boom, because of people trying to unload dollars, is peaking and going down rapidly. A lot of speculators have been caught in this bubble. The first half of the year, 2009, the Baltic Dry Index increased 450%, but has begun to fall back over the last 2 weeks. There's 1,000 new ships that have been built prior to the downturn economically, and they're just being finished now, and they're going to hit the market this year and next year. The normal rate of building ships is 300 per year. So they've overbuilt. There's a tremendous shipping glut. 40-foot container cost for shipping from the Far East to the West Coast has dropped from $1,400 to $920. So all of this looks as if like there's a, less commerce going on, and less commerce means less income, and there's going to be more layoffs to come. So as the readers can guess, I'm extremely skeptical about this commodity rally and the green shoots claims of the administration. All the deeper science suggests that the action by the Fed, the Bank of Japan, Bank of England, and European Central Bank is not enough to offset the deflation. And so it's no surprise also to find out that the states are not exactly using the stimulus funds as intended by the Obama administration. Many states are using the federal funds for short-term projects to fill budget gaps rather than spending on long-term transportation projects. And those are being done too, but states like California, obviously, when they've got a huge budget shortfall, have thrown a lot of that into the budget. So have many other states in order to keep from having to raise taxes. And frankly, California is really in a mess. Some $28 billion in debt. And frankly, they just need to really slash the outflow. And, they've got such a welfare mentality in California. Much of it going to the illegal aliens and hospital and Medicare funds. They just need to start to slash that stuff.
matter that we have, you know, all these wonderful pensions for government employees, you know, and you can, you know, retire, I think, with 90% of income. You know, after 30 years, you're 50 years old, you retire, you get 90% of your income indefinitely for the rest of your life. We have a pension fund that is so generous here in California, and the trouble is there's no money to pay the pensions.
Yeah, and so they're giving IOUs out for contractors who do business for the country, and three major banks in California just announced, I guess it was yesterday, that they're not going to accept any more IOUs after Friday. And so these people are really stuck, government giving IOUs, and they can't deposit it in the bank as money.
But
it isn't money.
What this really tells me is that the big banks really want to precipitate a crisis here in California. They wanted to make this system work and keep going. Why they would start taking the IOUs there. When they say they're not going to take the IOUs, somebody wants to precipitate a crisis. So I think some very dark days lie ahead.
Yeah, I think that's very true, and they may well be working hand in glove with the government of California, precipitate a crisis, and that'll allow them to go to the federal government for more bailout money.
Sure.
Well, you know, we can also ask what happened to all those toxic bank assets that the TARP funds were supposed to buy up and eliminate. Well, in March, Treasury Secretary Geithner unveiled a public-private investment program in which the government and private firms would bid together to purchase these toxic assets. But it hasn't been done yet. The program's still not operating. He said, we're committed to getting it done and expect to have it very, very soon. But it's complicated and takes time. More excuses. Anyway, the banking sector, until it does fully recover, the economy will be slow in recovery as well. So I think there's a lot of hype out there, but I think we haven't seen the end of these stimulus packages.
I agree with you. I think that... But you can't keep pouring money in indefinitely because we're not addressing the problem. And the problem is this fiat money system that allows the Fed simply to keep printing more and more and more money to meet all the obligations. And this is exactly what happened, you know, in the Weimar Republic and in, you know, in Zimbabwe. They kept creating more and more money. But the large banks are not lending. They have the money. They could create the money. They're not doing it. I think they want this problem.
Yeah, it appears to be. Next topic is what's behind the Panetta admission. You know, something's always fishy when the government of one of its agencies admits wrongdoing before any outside pressure is applied. Tim Starks focuses on this story this week. He says CIA Director Leon Panetta told the House Intelligence Committee that the agency had misled and concealed significant actions from all members of Congress dating back to 2001 and continuing until late June. Now, this is according to seven Democrats on the panel who published this. The letter was dated June 26th. This was 2 days after Panetta appeared before a closed-door session with the committee, and it asked the CIA chief to correct his statement made May 15 that it is not our policy or practice to mislead Congress. Now, let's get this picture straight. This is a very important piece of disinformation going on here. May 15, he says, you know, it's not our practice to mislead Congress. And what brought that about was, of course, that Nancy Pelosi had been caught admitting that she knew about torture and that she had been briefed about it and not protested this. And then she was claiming that the CIA misled her. That was her excuse. Panetta comes back May 15, says it's not our policy to mislead Congress. Now, 2 days later, Panetta comes up with a letter to the same committee saying we have misled Congress and all members, but doesn't mention any specific things, only the generalization that some deception at some period had occurred.
Well, we know that's a standard procedure. The CIA has always lied to Congress about what it's doing. Congress has no idea what the CIA is up to or its black operations.
No, that's right. And in any case... you know, I think this is a political cover-up engineered by the Democrats to cover for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who's been caught admitting, you know, that she knew about torture and that she was briefed on it, didn't stop it. This letter from Panetta allows her to explain away her actions by saying she had been misled. This is just pure politics. Well, you know, there's another betrayal going on. I remember commenting in the World Affairs Brief a couple of months ago about how one ought not to believe Governor Rick Perry of Texas claimed newfound sense of constitutional duty standing up for states' rights, saying that, you know, we ought to have another revolution against the federal government. He's a globalist, and he's in the thick of this latest betrayal of conservatives in Texas. Basically, he called a special session to help, you know, claiming that there was going to be no funds for the Department of Transportation in Texas. And tucked right into that allocation of $2 billion of state funds was, of course, a renewal of the Trans-Texas Corridor Plan and the ability to make public-private contracts with Cintra, Texas, or a Spanish transportation infrastructure company. And it was just an incredible betrayal. You know, here's a man claiming that we're going to stand up for states' rights, and then he gets into this global agenda of comprehensive development agreements and privatizing these new fancy roads, which will be a NAFTA corridor. And people really got upset in Texas over this.
Well, I hope they got upset. He blatantly lied about it. But then what would you expect from a globalist? We'll be right back with Joel Skousen.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of the World Affairs Brief?
Well, thank you. They could email me at editor at worldaffairsbrief.com. to receive a free sample copy. There is a modest subscription price for the briefs. It's $24 for the rest of this year. And people can, as I say, view a sample by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief. The brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, all written as one word, worldaffairsbrief.com, and it has a synopsis of the current brief from last week, and it will be changing today after this interview when I'll post the new brief this morning. There's lots of archival material on the right-hand side of the website about mostly about government cover-ups, our best evidence that there is illegal doing within the United States. And so there's lots of good things. Plus, of course, you know, a service that I know you use is that my research staff posts all of the top stories on the World Affairs Brief daily so that you get pre-screened the ones with the least disinformation anyway in them. And I comment and add back information in my summary of world events every week on Friday.
Okay, great. Well, let me recommend the World Affairs Brief to you. It's a wonderful source of information and gives you the information you're not going to get through regular channels. And I thought your explanation, of course, Leon Panetta's coming back and totally contradicting himself, saying, yes, we have deceived Congress. CIA has a program of deceiving Congress, up until recently, of course. And then, of course, that
right.
gives Nancy Pelosi a way out, a beautiful interpretation. I hadn't even thought of it.
Well, the affirmative action hit the news again. We won one and lose one. The good news is the Supreme Court overturned Sonia Sotomayor's most controversial opinion as an appeals court judge. The Supreme Court ruled Monday that 20 white New Haven firefighters who were denied promotion were victims of illegal racial discrimination. And then, of course, the U.S. government itself is still pushing quotas for minorities, even in places like the U.S. Naval Academy, where competency for naval leadership is crucial. Pat Buchanan made this his lead commentary this week. He said, Naval Academy professor challenges rising diversity. Now, this was the headline from the Washington Post. The impression left was that some sorehead was griping because black and Hispanic kids were finally being admitted to the Naval Academy. That wasn't it at all. The Post refused to say that, in fact, the problem is that they have put an arbitrary quota of getting 35% minority attendance in the Naval Academy. And so according to Fleming, who once sat on the Board of Admissions, white applicants must have all A's and B's and test scores of at least 600 on English and math in the SAT, even to qualify for a slate on the, to be chosen from. However, if you check a box indicating you're African-American, Hispanic, Native American, or Asian, SAT scores in the mid-500s with quite a few C's are qualified for direct admission for Annapolis, not even to go into a two-tiered system like the non-minorities have to. They're in and given a pro forma nomination to make it legitimate. And of course, if true, says Buchanan, the U.S. Naval Academy is running a two-tier administration system of the kind that kept Jennifer Gratz out of the University of Michigan that was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. So they just keep pushing the envelope, Dr. Stan, and it's our own government that does it.
And you can't afford to have mediocrity in our military. I mean, if you want to win wars, you've got to have the best people there.
Well, unfortunately, we're getting more and more yes men into the military. There's an article that came out today, and on the list of the what Scott Horton calls the Gang of Eight, these are the people who signed on to torture. You know, Ray McGovern wrote about this, not Scott Horton. He says, you know, we know who the eight persons are primarily responsible for not stopping the move towards torture, which could have turned this all around at the beginning. He says there's a two-page presidential memorandum of February 7, 2002, leaves no room for uncertainty regarding who the decider is on torture. George W. Bush's broad stroke signature on that memo made torture the official policy of the U.S. and it's been posted on the website. The title, of course, is euphemistic. It says, Humane Treatment of Al-Qaeda and Taliban Detainees. But, of course, in the memo, it's anything but humane. Bush authorizes his senior aide to withhold Geneva Convention protections from suspected Al-Qaeda and Taliban detainees. I mean, doesn't that just rile you when they put a title like humane treatment and say we're going to deny you then the protections of the Geneva Convention? Just incredible.
That's what they call sophistry. But, you know, the thing that's even more disturbing is a president said, well, it wasn't my fault because the lawyer said it was all right. And then the lawyer said, well, we were just giving our opinions. We're not responsible for the opinions. And so the decision is nobody's responsible.
Yeah,
some people were frankly tortured to death, and that is on really the responsibility of every American. Some people were frankly tortured to death. Where is the outcry? There's no statute of limitations for murder. It was murder. And it goes right back to those lawyers. It goes right back to George Bush. And I hope one day an international court of justice, even though I don't like international courts, but I hope one day hold him responsible.
Well, certainly he'll be responsible before the judgment bar of God someday.
Amen.
But, you know, there were 8 addressees to this memorandum. These are the people who got this memorandum. 8 people. Vice President Dick Cheney, Secretary of State Colin Powell, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, Attorney General John Ashcroft, White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card, CIA Director George Tenet, and National Security Aide or Advisor Condoleezza Rice, and Joint Chiefs Chairman Richard Myers. Now, McGovern says, during a Q&A after a recent Myers talk in Washington, I asked him point blank what he did after he read the president's memo on ignoring Geneva. The tone of his non-answer was this: if the president wanted to dismiss Geneva, what was a mere chairman of the Joint Chiefs to do?
He should have resigned. He should have resigned. If he'd been a moral man, he would have resigned.
And he would have done it publicly to make the point that I disagree with this. In his memoir, Eyes on the Horizon, he tries to blame the lawyers. By relying so heavily on just the lawyers, the president did not get the broader advice on these matters that he needed, Myers claimed. Well, so why didn't he give the broader advice? Why didn't he stand up? And as McGovern says, there's not a shred of evidence that any of the Gang of Eight gave the slightest consideration to resigning rather than carry out the president's decision. They elected to, quote, just follow orders, a defense dismissed out of hand at the post-World War II Nuremberg trial on war crimes.
And together, they blame the lawyers, and the lawyer says it's not our fault, it was just a legal opinion, and so nobody's responsible for the murders, and they are murders.
Yeah, and the point you just made out, and as I have often said, if you're in a position of authority and don't have the power to stop someone higher up, then at least you ought to resign in public.
We'll be right back in just a moment.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, I stand back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess this morning, is Joel Skousen. Joel, go right ahead.
Well, last topic here is Obama in Russia over his head. Before moving on to the G8 summit in L'Aquila, Italy, where the U.S. and other major powers made only token and unattainable commitments to lower the Earth's temperature. I mean, can you imagine the arrogance of the government saying we're committing to lower the Earth's temperature in obeisance to the man-made global warming hoax? Obama made his first foray into Russia, a nation schooled in centuries of political intrigue and foreign policy. He's way over his head, even though Obama was reared as a far leftist, in a far leftist culture with fellow travelers and communists as his mentors. He was clearly out of his league. Now, I suppose he's smart enough to know he's out of his league. That's why he relies on his CFR globalist advisors, and that only ensures that the message he peddles will only further the globalist agendas of more intervention and conflict. As I pointed out in today's World Affairs Brief, Russia's major objectives, the ones that are not the public objectives, what I believe are the true objectives, is one, to weaken the U.S. nuclear stockpile, and to encourage further intervention in Afghanistan and Iran in order to exhaust U.S. military capabilities prior to the war that they're planning for us, to facilitate EU dependence on Russia for strategic minerals and fuels that will make them vulnerable to blackmail when a war starts, play the anti-NATO card so as to exacerbate Russian and NATO tensions over the former Soviet states, you know, where there are millions of Russian immigrants in those states, purposely put there by the Russians so as to provide a future provocation and rationale for war, just like Hitler used the Germans in Poland and Czechoslovakia to justify war. In any case, the U.S. Russian objective is also to continue to milk the West for any financial, trade, or technology advantage it can, all the while feigning being an ally. And so as we look at what Obama promised, of course, and all of it isn't public, you know, we must always keep in mind that there are secret deals made behind the scenes that are never revealed to the American public in any of these summits, just as there were in all the secret meetings between Roosevelt, FDR and Stalin in the Tehran and Yalta meetings during World War II. Roosevelt was also guided by a coterie of globalist advisors like Alger Hiss. So while at first glance it may be appear that the U.S. Got some nice things from Russia, like the concession, you know, that they're going to facilitate the U.S. using air bases in Russian-controlled territory, this is never done without, some secret price being paid. The Russians are ruthless about getting equal or greater value in any deal. There's no way that they're going to assist the U.S. in supply arrangements for the number of Central Asian states that Moscow controls unless there's some quid pro quo. Russia never makes concessions out of goodwill. And so we have them, of course, helping the U.S. with a substantial bribe, of course, getting back to the logistics base at Manas Airport in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan, after losing the base in 2005 in Uzbekistan. But the big problem, of course, is that Obama goes headlong into more disarmament agreements with the Russians. That's their number one goal. And there's virtually no commitments on the part of the Russians in these things to bring up to compliance the past agreements that they have violated and backed out of. Now, the reason the U.S. didn't press for compliance is because Obama's CFR advisors are really only interested in U.S. disarmament. They're trying to induce the Russians, in my opinion, to start this war, and the Russians continue to be reluctant to do so because of unknown quantities of U.S. weapons, and they want as much disarmament as they can. The CFR advisors of Obama are not interested in exposing the Russians' secret arms programs in underground cities like Yamato Mountain and Yazvinsky Mountain. And so, you know, it's the same old pattern that was has been going on since the Kissinger years of and the Brzezinski years as national security advisors, covering for Russian war preparations, downplaying their danger, and we're still doing it.
And, of course, the most incredible thing is the average American cannot believe we don't have any defense against incoming nuclear head missiles. You know, we've disbanded our anti-ballistic missile system. George Bush put in a system with six missiles on it, supposedly to defend ourselves against North Korea, whereas, of course, Russia has thousands of nuclear warheads, and we have no defense. Just doesn't make any logical sense.
Well, until we understand, of course, their agenda, they want to make us vulnerable. They want to induce a third world war because that will drive the world into a new world order.
Right.
After the U.S. military is taken down, our only choice, they will tell us when they come out of their bunkers, is to join forces with the rest of the world in a new world order with military power. In fact, it was very sad to note that even Pope Benedict, the Catholic Pope, turned out to be a globalist. He made statements that we have to have a world political authority to govern, to redistribute wealth, to do all of the socialist type of things. I'm sure traditional Catholics are very, very disappointed in the Pope's position, which has been very rare that they come out this openly in favor of a globalist position like this. But this is the handwriting on the wall. We're seeing it from our own government. We're seeing it from the Pope. We're seeing it from more and more increasingly liberal members of Congress. Everybody's touting the New World Order.
Well, it's only a matter of time, and Americans are going to have to understand that is the major driving force behind everything going on today. That's why we're transferring our manufacturing and our wealth to other countries to create this one world government and to raise the living standards of the average American to that of the Chinese peasant.
Well, it's interesting that the Obama administration is using a little bit of executive orders to try to renew this treaty instead of submitting it to the Senate for ratification, which you have to do when a treaty ends. If you do a new one, even if you renew it, you've got to re-ratify it.
But that's the disarmament treaty.
Right, the START treaty that they're trying to just simply renew by executive order. They're essentially saying we're going to have an executive order to continue the inspections process. But what they don't say, of course, is that the inspections aren't equal. The Russian inspectors here in the United States have full access, and we are denied access to about half the locations in Russia.
We're out of time, Joel. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Have a party, wedding, graduation, summer reunion, backyard birthday, or a backyard get-together to plan? Well, make sure that occasion is extra special and find all of your party needs at Grand Rental Station. Don't go anywhere else for your canopies, chairs, tables, bounce houses, and dunk tanks. Grand Rental Station has it all. When planning your next event, be sure to add Grand Rental Station staff of expert consultants to your list for the very best in service and advice. Call your local Grand Rental Station now at 970-532-0144 in Johnstown. The very place for everything to rent. That's Grand Rental Station, 970-532-0144.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three Praise and Worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I do hope that you enjoy our conversations with Joel Skousen. I know I always do. And listen to what he has to say. He has a great view of what's going on today. Now, you have to understand, the financial crisis is all manipulated. The major banks can create money out of nothing. They can have $1 in deposit and create $50 that they can lend out. They could lend money, but they're not lending money. Why? Because they are in on this game. They're part of the Trilateral Commission, Brotherhood of Darkness, combine that really runs the world, that wants to destroy our economy and bring us into this world government. And Joel may well be right that they want to precipitate a war. Because behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces which energize the whole Brotherhood of Darkness. Now, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Or get the DVD, or if you can't afford it, go to our website, radioliberty.com, scroll down to videos, and scroll to through videos till you get to the Brotherhood of Darkness, and get the message. Only with this message can you understand what's going on today. And the spiritual forces that energize the people who are control the world in which we live. Now, we have certainly our talk on the Forbidden Secret with the syllabus, our talk on financial Armageddon with a syllabus. We have a syllabus we call the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. It just tells you who's in the Trilateral Commission. Where did we get the membership list? From the Trilateral Commission. And then, of course, we have the membership list for the Council on Foreign Relations and the membership list of the Bilderbergers, or at least who attended the meeting last year, and then the who's in the group of 30, and something about all of these organizations. And their purpose is to control our government, to control the world, and of course to impoverish the American people. And they're doing a pretty good job of it. They know exactly what they're doing, but they're energized by dark and sinister spiritual forces. We have a great new DVD. It's called The Trilateral Commission, and it's a talk by Patrick Wood, that PowerPoint presentation, very well done, going into how these powerful people created this whole financial chaos, who they are, how they control the presidency, how they control every aspect of our society. They control the major banks. Who do you think controls the Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Sachs and Citigroup? And they're all tied into the Brotherhood of Darkness, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley. But nobody's going to tell you these things. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We post our newsletters up there on the Internet so you can read them. If you'd like to support us, you can subscribe to the newsletter and get it by mail or by email directly sent to you, so you'll be abreast of what's really going on. But go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can watch our DVDs, watch our links to YouTube, read our newsletters, listen to our radio programs 9 hours a day and not get anything accomplished. Get the information at radioliberty.com. And then if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is under attack today, and not from without, but from within. And the people in Washington, D.C., who are globalists, are subversive elements who hate America. and they're doing a good job to destroy it financially and morally and spiritually. So until Monday, Archer Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Got a whole